Verse 3, Lord, to be thine, sin with its follies I gladly resign, all of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer still, nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be near my Savior, still near to thee, near my Savior, still near to thee. I like those words. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the many words we've heard already that inspired our hearts. Thank you that you are watching us this morning. You are in heaven and you're praying for us and interceding for us. And pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts this morning. Just pray that you'd inspire us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name. My title this morning is Jesus' Invitation to Soul Rest, taken from Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Let's read that. Jesus is talking here. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus talking here. It's Jesus' invitation to every human on this earth. And when you think of it, Jesus is the absolute only one that could offer this to anyone, to everyone. It's a wonderful offer. It's a wonderful promise. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Just think of some reasons we need rest naturally. maybe after a hard day's work, we're very tired. Maybe we've been through something stressful. Maybe a person has been sick and needs to recuperate. We need rest. We're humans. And we also need rest spiritually. And that's what this is talking about here, I believe. It's not talking about natural rest, I don't believe. And some words that come to our mind when we think of rest. Maybe total relaxation. Just kicking back and maybe in your easy chair after a hard day's work, or just plain sleeping, or a time of freedom from work and responsibility or stress, just a time out. Maybe we think of going camping or going on a trip, just getting away from it all and just relaxing. Although sometimes for myself, I end up, you go on a trip or you go camping or something, and maybe you come back tireder than when you left, but that's sometimes a change is as good as a rest at sometimes. So it's all, when we think of rest, that's what we think of naturally. Jesus and his disciples sometimes would go off to a quiet place just to get some rest, just to get some relaxation, gather their bearings and be able to move ahead again. Jesus is saying, come unto me. And he's the only one that I said before that can offer this rest that we're looking for, that everyone wants and needs. And we have that as Christians. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Isn't that every human? One time or another. Throughout our lives, we got things that we're laboring over or we're heavy laden about. And it's Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you some rest. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I want to say right away is, when we speak of rest, Christian rest, it's almost interchangeable with peace and other words like that. So it's not only rest we're talking about soul rest. And Jesus is saying here to possibly his disciples here, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You know, we're not promised a perfect life. Actually, what Jesus is promising is, it says we will have trouble. We will have physical trouble possibly. We will have trouble, and that's why he promises us that as we come to him, he can help us in that trouble. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groaneth in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" So what I'm seeing here is the whole world has labor, and they labor and are heavy laden, along with us. There's something along with all that natural living that is just not always easy. But we as Christians will receive that redemption of our body as we believe in Christ. Verse 24, that we're saved by hope. That hope that we will be delivered from this body of trouble and pain at times. And verse 18 talks about the sufferings of this present time. I'm sure some of us are not suffering as in some Christians in other parts of the world, where they're in prison possibly, or separated from their families for being a Christian. We don't know what that's like, but we do have our own sufferings at times. Life is life, and it's not always easy. But it's just saying there is a better day coming when we will be delivered from our body, from this earth. But in the meantime, Christ offers us rest even now. And another part of our labor and heavy laden, being just a human, is we always have that sin nature to deal with. It's never going to leave us as long as we live. But we do have victory through Christ. But we have to deal with that. That's part of being, I believe, part of the labor and heavy laden Christ is talking about. And that sin sometimes troubles us. And maybe we wouldn't have to be so troubled by it if we'd treat it more harshly. I ran across a quote, "One reason sin flourishes is that it is treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake." That was Billy Sunday. Just a side thought. "When sin drives, shame sits in the back seat." Another quote I ran across. Just that thought of the sin nature being with us. We don't have to live in sin, but we are dealing with that sin nature every day of our lives. But Christ offers us rest even in the middle of that. We can come to Him. We can find victory. Another thing that would maybe come in under, fall under this labor and heavy laden is just the, I think it's Matthew talks about the cares of life, being able to choke the word out in our lives if we allow it to. It doesn't have to. Again, Christ offers us rest. He offers us peace. He offers us a way forward. Just some things as I was thinking about this message at the very start, some things that came to my mind. Things we think we need to carry around or worry about just on a human standpoint. Things that we carry around with us sometimes that we don't have to, I don't believe. Maybe it's some political crisis. Maybe it's elections coming up. Maybe it's that kind of thing, you know, what all's happening. Do I have to carry that around? I don't believe we do. Christ says, come unto me, follow my ways. It's just some of the thoughts that come to me. Maybe you disagree with some of this, but I'm just some thoughts that came to me. Do I need to carry that around? Do I need to worry about world economics? How shaky they are. Is that something Jesus calls me to worry about? I don't believe. Do I need to worry about other people's problems out of my circle of influence? You know, maybe over in Africa, or maybe over in just somewhere I can absolutely do nothing about. And sometimes I wonder with this social media, we hear of problems all over the world. And that is good because we can pray. That is one thing we can do. We can pray with, we can do earnest prayer. And that is our calling, definitely. We need to pray for needs all over the world, definitely. And then leave it there. It's out of our circle of influence. Let it with God. Do I need to carry a burden of sin or lust or covetousness? God doesn't ask me to carry that. That's something I need to leave with Him. Take care of it, confess it, get rid of it. That's not something I need to carry. But there are things that are part of the burden, I believe, that Christ wants us to carry. And we'll look at that later, but some of the things that came to my mind that are part of Christ's light burden for me to carry, you to carry. His love and care are over all this burden. His rule and almighty hand of care are over everything, but we need to diligently seek Him. That is part of our yoke, I believe. We need to do our best to care for our families, definitely. That's part of living. We need to love and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ and the needs of the world close around us. Spreading God's word, that's part of the yoke. Just some thoughts I had. So let's look at a little bit where rest is not found. Totally opposite of what Christ is calling us to here, but let's look at a little bit where people maybe look for it or where it is not found. Isaiah 30. And maybe this enters into the political scene a little bit. I don't know. I didn't look into it much at all. But it's Israel here, and it seemed like they were wanting to go down to Egypt for help, for safety. Isaiah 30, verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." So God's telling them, you want to go down to Egypt for safety, go ahead, it's not my plan for you, but if that's what you choose, go ahead. Verse 12, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So it's just God talking to Israel, and he's saying, you're trusting in Egypt for your safety. I would give you this quietness and confidence if you would trust me, but you're choosing not to. And that could come very close home to us, whether it's political scene or whatever it is. We turn to something else other than Christ to trust in. We're not going to find that rest. Romans 8, verse 6. Another way we will not find rest, for to be carnally minded, which is, like I was talking about before, just serve on our old sinful self, the way we were created, follow your heart, they say, you know, and that is just following our carnal mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So Christ's invitation is definitely to people like this, but they're not going to find rest there. They're not going to find rest in this carnal way. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith my Lord, unto the wicked. They don't have peace. And we know that ourselves. When we take our own way, do our own thing, choose to sin, there's no peace out there. Like Dale was saying, that the world is in my heart, it's in your heart. We don't have to look far. So when we choose that way, there is no peace. We know that. But as Christians, we choose to follow God. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. It's not there. That's not where it's found. You know, your sinful heart tells you that surely taking the easy way, taking the way my heart feels like it should go, you know, following my lust, following my desires, there's got to be some peace there, but we've all tried it. It's not there. We turn back to Christ. We follow his invitation, and we find peace. Psalm 73. Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And this is not actually true, but this is what he was thinking. This is how it felt at the time. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of the children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. In verse 23, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. Isn't that how it is sometimes? We look around, we compare life for life, and we say, they got it all made, but they don't. Until he went into the sanctuary of God, until he sought God, until he looked to God, the picture totally changed. Let's look at Jesus' yoke, the way to soul rest. We're looking at some of that already, but Matthew 11:29, there it talks about, take my yoke upon you. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we know what that's about. It's sin. It could be stress. It could be just cares of life. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So a yoke means to join, especially by to join by a yoke. So a coupling. So let's think of ourselves as coupled with Christ. Together with Christ, we can do life. We can be an overcomer. We will find that rest. You notice it doesn't say, Christ doesn't say, come unto me and you will have absolutely no worries. You'll have absolutely nothing to do. It doesn't say that. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I believe Christ has a life for us to live. It's not a life of nothing to do. It's definitely we're yoked with Christ. There is life to live. There is things to do, and it's fulfilling. Galatians 5 verse 1 has the same meaning of yoke. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I think it was talking there about maybe about people that were trying to bring the old law back on Christians. I didn't look in there. But let's stand fast and be not entangled with that wrong yoke, not following Christ, but a different path. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, also has the same meaning for that word yoke. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So this is talking about servants under the yoke. So whether we think of it as being yoked together with Christ or just having Christ yoke on us, as us as being Christ's servants. I made a bit of an acrostic. I should have wrote it up, but I'm not going to take the time. Yoke to Jesus equals soul rest. Think about that. Jesus wants us to come to him, and he will give us rest, but he wants us to be yoked with him. He wants us to be his servant. He wants to bless us. So for yoke to have yielding to Jesus, for the why. O, obeying his commands. K, kneeling before God in humility, thankfulness, and faith. For the E, enjoying Jesus as Lord and friend. These are all things that are part of being yoked, I believe. And for the D, desiring to follow Jesus. Yoked. We're yoked to Jesus. We yield to Jesus. We obey him. We kneel before him. We give him our lives. He's our Lord and our friend, and we desire to follow him. So yoke to Jesus gives rest, and for rest I have repose, and for the E I have energy efficient. Think about it. Isn't that part of the rest we have? I believe it is a very huge part of it. The rest that comes through Christ, through the peace that Christ gives, my thought here is it's energy efficient. Can you think of anything more, anything that would that sucks your energy more than sin? Just unconfessed sin, living in sin. To me, I can't think of anything more that would draw my energy worse than that. But we have, when we come to Christ, we know we need him. We're laboring and heavy laden, and Christ gives us that rest. It's peace, it's rest, it's sins forgiven. I call that energy efficient. God gives us energy. We don't have that dragging us down. And for the S on rest, I have stress-free. I thought about that. Is it actually stress-free? I don't know if we can quite say it's stress-free, but God helps us to deal with our responsibilities, our stress, if we have stress. God definitely gives us a way through that. And we're not supposed to be overly concerned about life, definitely. That's God's command. But to say totally stress-free, maybe that's not quite right. But God does want us to live a happy life. And for the T on rest, I have total faith in God's care and leading. So another quote I ran across, which I really believe is true. You know, you think about it, our natural man would say, okay, we come to Christ, we should have all of our burden absolutely taken away, and we do. Christ takes our sin burden away, and he gives us a different yoke to carry. A light yoke. What's it say here? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And just think about this quote. A youth was questioning a lonely old man. What is life's heaviest burden, he asks. The old fellow answered sadly, to have nothing to carry. Think about that. I think that sheds some light on what we're looking at here. Christ gives us rest, but he also wants us to carry his burden. Sorry, not his burden, his yoke. There's a difference, I believe. The burden of sin, the burden of a lot of things that we don't have to deal with, but Christ puts a yoke on us. He wants us as his servant. It's a light yoke, though. It's a light burden. I think God had us set up that way, like that old man. He was lonely, and his biggest burden was he had nothing to carry. No responsibilities. That's not how God has us set up. He knows that we need something. We need a challenge in life. But he wants us to have the right challenge to serve him. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So it's saying here, us as Christians this morning, we do have that rest. We experience rest. But I believe it goes on and talk about a rest to come also when this life is over. So it takes belief. to live in Christ's way, to answer that call of to come to Him and find that rest. It takes faith. And we all know that how that works as Christians. We believe and we found that rest. Isaiah 48. I found myself turning back to Isaiah quite a few times when I was studying. Isaiah 48, verse 16. It says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Think about that. That was God's wish for them. We need to hearken to God's commandments. It's no different today, I don't believe. As we follow God, as we follow His Word, as we let ourselves be sanctified through the Word, like we read in Sunday school, "Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Imagine that. It sounds powerful. It sounds peaceful. As we follow God, that is can be reality. Psalm 55:6. Says a psalm of David. We know David lived a very difficult life at times. It says, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah." Sometimes we wish we could fly away from trouble. Life gets a little hard maybe, and we wish we could just do that, just fly away into the wilderness. But we know that's not realistic, that's not a possibility, and David knew that too. And he always ends up coming back to God and saying how good God is and how God blesses him. And that's what we need to do too. We can't fly away from our trouble. We can give our troubles to God. We can take care of our sin. We can entrust in God, definitely, but we can't fly away from it. Some people try that sometimes, and they can't. They can't get away from themselves. They can't get away from life. It's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to face it, face life, deal with it with His power, definitely. It made me think of John 15, how Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And without Him, we can't do anything. We need Christ. We need His invitation of rest. Let's look at Romans 6, verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection." In verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So as Christians, we were the servants of sin, but now we are the servants of Christ. We have that light burden on us. We have that easy yoke. It's our choice. We could look at Matthew 5 of the way to rest. The ones that are seeking Christ, the ones that are hungering for righteousness, the ones that are living as peacemakers, the ones that are, maybe they're mourning now, but they are the happy ones. Just thinking about being yoked to Christ, following his commands through life. A young physician was determined to reach the heights of Mount Blanc, the highest peak in Europe. He accomplished the feat, and the little village at the foot of the mountain was illuminated in his honor. On the mountainside, a flag was floating that told of his victory. He had actually got to the top and was coming down, I believe, the way his story, we understand it. After he had ascended and descended as far as the hut, he wanted to be released from his guide. He wanted to be free from the rope and insisted on going alone. The guide told him it was not safe, but he was tired of the rope and declared that he would be free. The guide was compelled to yield. The young man had gone only a short distance when his foot slipped on the ice and he could not stop himself from sliding down the icy slope. The rope was gone, so the guide could not hold him or pull him back. Out on the shelving ice lay the body of the young physician. The bells had rung. The village had been illuminated in honor of his success. But alas, in a fatal moment, he refused to be guided. He was tired of the rope. Let's think about that as being yoked with Christ. Let's stay yoked. Let's not get tired of that rope. He is our rest. He is our safety. The word rest means to repose, to refresh, to take ease, recreation, rest, them words, them thoughts. Just a few more thoughts here. I want to look at Isaiah 53. Verse 1, this is talking about Jesus. When we think of laboring and heavy laden, let's look at these verses and see what he has done for us already. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's what Christ came to this earth to do for us, when he died for us. How many of our sorrows does he take care of and we don't even know about it? And when we do have sorrows, when we are wounded, when we need peace and rest, he gives it to us. That's what he came for. But like I said, he doesn't take everything away from us. He doesn't take all the storms away from us. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies, yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Think about that when we think of soul rest. We have Christ as an intercessor. He is praying for us. But that is an inspiring thought to me. If we knew Christ was back in, maybe we're at home in our bedroom or wherever we're at, if we knew Christ was in the next room praying for us, wouldn't that be a powerful thought? But this quote saying, Christ is praying for us. He's not in the next room. He's with us. He's in heaven praying for us. In closing, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. Let's read Revelation 14. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Let's seek Christ's rest in life today, and let's also look forward to that better rest in the future. Thank you for your attention.